Bible. Do appreciate the goodness of the Lord. An opportunity to preach. Amen. I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. And it's a wonderful privilege. John chapter number 1. How many of y'all are glad you got a Bible in here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that testimony, Brother Bill. That touched my heart. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
Those are the words of God. There's a preacher, one of my heroes. I was at a camp meeting down in South Carolina, and he was preaching, and it was a big tent meeting, and there was sawdust, and everybody was sitting in those 10 chairs, and I was sitting on the same row as him, and they kind of had it arced around the stage there, the platform where they were preaching, and I saw him as he was getting ready to preach, and he stood up off the pew, and he took his Bible, and he had it tucked right there under his arm, and I could see he had a piece of, you know, that silver duct tape that fixes everything, you know, the miracle cure for us folks from West Virginia. He had a big piece of silver duct tape right across the front of his Bible. And on that, amen, brother. He had a big piece of that silver duct tape on his Bible. And on that duct tape, he had written in Sharpie, "The voice of God." The voice of God. And he was asked why he did that. And he said, "It convicts me." You know, and I heard another preacher from West Virginia, from Beckley, preaching one time. And he said, "I don't set out any certain day," and I'm not saying this is wrong. I believe you ought to set goals for yourself in reading your Bible. Amen. You ought to give your attention to the Word of God. But he said, "I don't set a certain set goal of how much to read a day." He said, "That's not something I do." He said, "I read until I know God has spoken to me." Think about that for a minute. I read until I know God has spoken to me. Now, how many times have we read our 3 chapters or our 5 chapters or our 10 chapters a day or whatever you read, and we read it and we close that cover and we set it down beside our bed or beside our on our or our coffee table or wherever you set your Bible, and that's it. You don't think about anything that was in it. It's become ritualistic. It's become stagnant. It's become a going through the motions sort of thing. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of just how powerful and how important the Word of God is every time I come to John chapter number 1. Amen. And this has nothing to do with what I'm preaching tonight. But I'm glad that when we read these words, amen, these are the words of God.
Amen.
I remember my Papa Richard, my great-grandpa, when I was just a little boy, and I'm talking little, maybe 3 years old, the first thing I ever remember hearing about the Bible is my Papa Richard, before he got sick, he was sitting in his living room, and I was looking at his Bible. He said, "You know what that is?" "So a book?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's a Bible." And I remember it as clear as day, Brother Tom. He put his finger on that book and he said, "These are the words of God." And I'm telling you, something about that just stuck with me. I didn't get saved till I was 8 years old. I mean, I was a wee little boy. And he said, "These are the words of God." And he said it with so much faith and so much assurance behind it. And I loved him, and I thought a world of him, and I probably believe anything he told me, but something about him telling me that, I knew from that point on that there was something different about this book. Amen.
Amen.
When I got saved, I came to realize that, you know, this is where the plan of salvation is laid out. This is where the gospel comes from. This right here, this is everything to us. Amen.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're born not of corruptible seed, amen, but by the Word of God.
Amen.
This is everything for you and I in here this evening. This is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice.
That's right.
the words of God. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Not a whole lot has changed regarding that phrase in the day that which we live in today. Amen? I hope we understand that. We live in a world that doesn't know God and doesn't want to know God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and this is the message tonight, I hope we can grasp what God is telling us through the Scripture tonight. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these folks that you brought out to your house tonight. And God, the message is short tonight, but Lord, it's an important one, God. Lord, I don't understand why you lead me to preach the things that you lead me to preach, and it always seems to work out for good, Lord, and there always seems to be some reason behind it, God. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, God, that somebody in here, I'm not sure if somebody's struggling with salvation, I'm not sure if somebody's struggling with eternal security, I'm not sure if somebody's under the weight of the world of conviction, God, but Lord, I pray that you would just do in our hearts what only you can do. Lord, let your Holy Spirit have free reign as your written word is spoken and as it goes forth. Lord, we understand that it will not return void unto you, God. But Lord, that you have me to preach this tonight for some reason. And God, I pray that you just help us and encourage us through your word. Lord, we thank you for salvation. And Lord, we thank you that it's free. We thank you for your blood and for what you did at Calvary. And Lord, we thank you that the tomb is still empty, God. Lord, please bless the service now. And we'll give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Simple message tonight. Not a real deep thought behind it, but it's an important one. Amen. And I mentioned it in Sunday school, and you know, I talk about the emphasis of salvation by grace through faith, and if you seem to be thinking to yourself, you know, why does he keep saying this over and over? Why does he keep making this emphasis over and over? I'm just following what Paul said in the Bible, amen? I'm just going verse upon verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, amen? And if God led Paul to preach that, and if God the Holy Ghost inspired him to pen down those words, amen, through inspiration of the Holy Ghost, then I have no problem preaching it in the order that it comes in, amen? And I said, you know, we might be in here and bless the Lord, we're all independent fundamental Baptists and we got salvation locked down and settled, but there are people outside of these walls, well-meaning people that love God, that have been born again, that have been discipled the wrong way, that have been taught the wrong way, that have fallen into the snares of the devil, amen? Those thorns have come up and they've choked those people out so that they can't bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And what we find outside of these walls is many a people believe many a different things about salvation, amen? I'm going to preach salvation by grace through faith, Lord willing, till the day I die. Amen. That is something that needs to be preached. Amen. There's lots of things I could preach on. There's lots of things that people say they could preach on, but they can get behind the pulpit and spend 30 minutes and waste God's time. Amen. But you're never going to waste God's time preaching on salvation by grace through faith.
Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s, he preached the same message 10 Sunday mornings in a row from the same text with the same outline, and people started to get onto him, and the men of the church got together and they said, okay, what gives? Why are you preaching this? He said, listen, I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost and I'm going to preach this and God, until God tells me to stop preaching it. The next Sunday morning, he preached that same message and groups of people came forward to get saved. Church members. People that have been to the baptistry. People that have made professions of faith.
Amen.
You're never going to waste God's time preaching and teaching about the grace of God and the salvation of God. Amen?
Amen.
The main thing, the main reason we're here tonight is that we might see Jesus. Amen? One of my heroes in the faith, Dr. Harold Seitler, I've heard it said that on his pulpit, right above where he would set his Bible, it was inscribed, it was ingrained to that pulpit. It said, we would see Jesus. He said, it reminds me that whenever I get to preaching or wherever I get to hobby horsing, whenever I get to rambling, whenever I get to running rabbits, that the main focus or the reason that I'm up there in God's sacred desk behind the pulpit is to preach the grace of God. Amen? And what we find is, as John pins down these words, he tells us of the testimony of John the Baptist, and he tells us of the Word of God and how the Word was made flesh, and a little bit about the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. But I like what he says in verse number 12. He says, but as many as received Him. We're talking about a God who came to this world, who created the world, but the world didn't want anything to do with Him. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. Men love their sin. Men love to feed that flesh nature. Amen. That's what the natural man wants. We've talked about it. But the Bible teaches us that if you receive Christ by faith, you're no longer a child of disobedience, as the Bible tells us, as we read in Sunday school this morning. But you're a joint heir with Jesus. You're part of the family of God. Look what it says right there. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. My pastor says it this way. He says, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. We only have access to God through Jesus Christ, and through His grace and through His mercy. And John, as he's preaching this, as he's writing this, as he's teaching the gospel, he gets a little bit more specific in verse number 13, and that's what I want to preach on tonight, is just what we find right there in the 13th verse, and I'd like to preach on the birth of the believer, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The first thing that I'd like for us to notice in the 13th verse tonight is that we are born not by our relatives.
Amen.
Not by our relatives. That Bible right there says not by blood. Amen. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. No one person on this earth can get you to God. Amen. I mentioned just a minute ago, I tried to share a little bit of my heart with you as I talked about what it means to be a pastor and what I want to be to you guys and how I want to help you guys and how I want to serve you guys and how I want to follow God. And I said, you got to tell me these things. I said, I'll be there. I'll pray for you. I'll visit with you. I'll do these things. But understand this, that you are not going to get any closer to God through me. I can't get you any closer to God. I can preach the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God can work on your heart and you can yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, but understand that that is a personal responsibility. We look at one of the pillars of Baptist doctrine. It's individual soul liberty. You are responsible for your relationship with God.
Amen.
Me, as the preacher, as the pastor, I can't get you any closer to God than you can get yourself through prayer. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not the mediator between God and man. There's a man in Italy at the Vatican, and so many people, millions of people, they die and they go to hell every single year because they believe that this man is the vicar of Christ. They believe that this, when this man comes out on his balcony or podium or whatever he does, and they call him Father, but he looks like Mother, amen. He wears a dress out there, and he comes out to these people, and he's high, and he's lifted up, and he's exalted, and he's praised, and all these people believe in their hearts that man can get them to God. There's people who go to church who are probably in church tonight on a Sunday evening, and they'll go away and they'll lock themselves in a little booth, and through a screen they'll talk to a man who they believe can forgive their sins. We talked a little bit this morning about the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness of sins, and I think about that man who was lame on his feet, and they carried him and they put him through the roof of that house, and they brought him down to Jesus, and he said the Son of, and Jesus, he quoted the scriptures because the Pharisees doubted in their hearts and they called him a devil, and he said the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Amen. And these people have the gall. These people have the audacity. I tell you what, brother, I'd be shaking in my boots if I was them, to tell people that they are the way to get to God, that they can forgive sins on earth. And they'll write them their little prescription, and they'll tell them to grab their beads and to grab their idols, and you can watch the charismatic preachers on TV, and they'll wipe the sweat rag with their head, and then they'll sell it to you for $40, and they'll say, you can grab that rag and pray, and you can get a hold of God, brother. That's not getting you any closer to God.
Amen.
What did we just read? There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Man, I tell you what, I love Tudor's biscuits. Do you guys have those in Kentucky?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You have Tudor's biscuits? Praise God right there. Amen. But I love Tudor's biscuits. I have a purpose for this, I promise. The only bad time I think I've ever had in Tudor's, I upset a girl I went to school with. We were in line, and I ran into her. We was in line. We were getting biscuits and whatnot. And she began to tell me about her mother that was sick and stuff, and she heard that God had changed my life, and it was one of those things everybody I went to school with, nobody believed it till they saw it, I guess. But she's like, yeah, I didn't believe anybody when they told me. And she began to ask me about God, and I began to witness to her a little bit and try to invite her out to church. And she began to tell me of a sick grandparent, I believe it was. And she said, I tell you what would be really awesome is if you could tell me where I could get a real good prayer cloth. And I thought, oh, brother, this can't end well. And I said, well, I don't use a prayer cloth. I said, I don't think you need that. I said, I, the Bible says that we can go to God directly if we've been saved, you know. And she was a professing Christian. She told me of a time and a place when she got saved, but she just backslid on God and hadn't been in church, hadn't been taught right. And she said, yeah, but my so-and-so, my cousin or my aunt or something, she sends these to all our family and gives them to us for Christmas and whatnot. And she said, it works. And I told her, I said, there is no power in that prayer cloth. Amen. It's merely religion. But I want us to understand here this morning, you go out, it's not by blood, it's not by the will of the flesh, it's not by the will of man. Amen. It's not by these things, and so many people will tell you that they can get you to God. You go out and you knock on doors, you'll be surprised how many people will tell you they're going to heaven because their parents are Christians. You say, well, what is it? Why are you, if you died today, how do you know that you go to heaven? They said, well, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents are Christians, so I know I'm going to heaven. I've heard this one a time or two. Well, my papa, he was a preacher, so I know I'm going to go to heaven. My papa was a preacher. They said, no, I think I'm going to go to heaven. My grandma reads the Bible every day. Let me tell you something, friend. No relative can get you to heaven.
Amen.
Your spouse can't get you to heaven. You might be in here today, and like I said, and I don't ever take for granted that everybody in a crowd is saved. It don't matter who I'm preaching to, so I don't want you to take it personal. All I'm saying is this. You're the only person in here tonight that knows that you're saved. The only person I know for sure in here tonight that is saved is myself. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's nothing that anybody in here could do to change that. And there's most certainly nothing anybody in here could do to save me or sanctify me any further, because It is a personal relationship with God. Like we mentioned just a minute ago, one of the pillars of the Baptist faith is individual soul liberty. We're born not of blood, not by our relatives. Amen. What else does it say? Not by our relatives. It says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. And Paul addresses this in the book of Romans in chapter number 7. I'd like to read to you what he says. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I can sin under the law that it is good. Now then is it no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For that good which I do not, but that evil which I would not, that I do. Understand here tonight that it is not only by your relatives, not by blood, but it is not by your righteousness. The Bible says that all our righteousness are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says that in those last days, you know, when Christ at the great white throne and the judgment of God ensues upon those who are unsaved and death and hell delivered up the bodies and the souls of the damned, the Bible says there will be many in that day which say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And what does he say? Well, how does he answer them? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. He even calls them workers of iniquity. Now, let me ask you something. How could someone work iniquity in Jesus' name? You know, there are many people who go to hell every day who profess the name of Christ. There's a big old church called St. George's in Charleston, West Virginia. And oftentimes at that bus transit outside of that church, we'll try and preach the gospel because lots of people are coming in and lots of people are going out. And that church, it's a fancy looking church. I mean, it's a beautiful building. It's big, it's fancy. They got all this stuff and it's so nice. And it's heartbreaking to think that so many people invested so much time and so much money into believing that is going to earn their way to heaven. They think that by putting a certain amount of money into an offering plate, they can buy their way into heaven. That they can purchase that righteousness. Amen? There's people on the other side of that spectrum, amen, who believe that you have to reach a certain level of holiness. And they're the same ones that believe in the sign gifts. And they're the same ones who have these legalistic standards. And what we understand is they don't do these things because they're saved. They do these things to be saved. They do these things because they believe that if they don't, they're going to go to hell. They believe that they can earn their own righteousness. They believe that they can earn their own salvation. They believe that they can merit their own salvation. Amen? But the Bible tells us that it is not by blood and not by the will of the flesh. It's not by our own righteousness. Isn't that something? All our righteousness, all the good works that we could do in our flesh outside of God are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. You understand this, that God is not saying all those things you do don't mean anything to me. He's not saying that. He's saying that when you compare those things to the holiness and the righteousness and the goodness of God and the sacrifice of His Son that He made on Calvary, it's nothing.
Amen.
And you and I were sinners. Everybody in here is. Mm-hmm. We've been declared righteous in the sight of God, and I thank God for that, but understand this, that we are still sinners. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no getting to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So the believer is born not of blood, not by our relatives, not by the will of man, or not by blood, that's not by our relatives, not by the will of the flesh, that's not by our righteousness, amen. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, nor of the will of man. And understand this here tonight, Hear me. If you don't hear anything else I say in here tonight, understand this, because I believe that in independent Baptist churches, this takes more people to hell than anything. It is not by religion. Amen? It is not by religion. You can have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, and you can wear your suit and tie to church or your skirt to church every Sunday and still die and go to hell if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Galatians chapter number 2, Paul's writing to the church. He said, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners," we just acknowledged that, right? "Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." That's what the Bible says. "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I like the phrase that he shares with us in this next verse. He says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain."
That's right.
Understand this. This is a man who was well acquainted with the law. He knew the law like the back of his hand. And I'm not talking about just the moral basis. I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments that were given on Mount Sinai. I'm talking about the law. Back in Leviticus, all 613 statutes and ordinances of Judaic law. And what's he say? He said, "I frustrate not the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." The law was given as a schoolmaster to point us to Christ, to point us to that sacrifice, to point us to the righteousness of God. It helps us to understand that there is no righteousness in and of ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
I talked to a man who got saved. He was a Catholic. And I mean, when I say Catholic, he was hand signal, smoke waving Catholic to the core, okay? Altar boy, grew up in Catholic church. I mean, hardcore Catholic. He got saved through door knocking, through soul winning, and got into church and got discipled, and he's a deacon now at Taze Valley. He'd been there for 30 years now. And he told me that when he was a boy in Catholic school, and, you know, a lot of these churches that preach legalism and preach work salvation, they try and mask it up with grace. They try and put the makeup on it, make it look pretty. They're not going to come right out a lot of times and say, you know, this is how it is and this is how we believe. No, they're going to try and tiptoe around it. But he was in Catholic school, and he said as a young boy, there was all the school teachers were nuns in the school. She said he literally was told this as a young boy. He asked that nun, he said, "I remember asking her, well, how do I know I'm going to go to heaven? I understand I got to be good to get to heaven, but how do I know I'm going to go?" She said, "Well, Roger, that's a good question." And she said, this is the illustration that she gave him. She said, "Imagine that every time you do something wrong, every time you sin, you'd take a nail and you'd pin it into the wall. Every time you did something wrong. And say you had so many nails in that wall." And she said, "But every time you did something good, you could pull one of those nails out. And you keep doing things good, you can keep pulling nails out." She said, "At the end of your life, when it comes time to die, if there are no nails on that wall, you're going to go to heaven." That's what she literally told him. And I tell you, that makes me angry. Mm-hmm. That upsets me. But more than anything, it breaks my heart, because there are people who believe that.
Amen.
There are churches with little ones just like that, who believe with their whole heart that the will of man, that their religion, that their creeds, that their memberships, that their sacraments are going to get them to heaven. And here we are here tonight, a church that teaches and preaches the truth of the gospel and the word of God, the Bible, unashamedly, amen. People don't want to hear that. We're the ones with the responsibility to take the gospel into all the world.
Amen.
We're the ones who I believe God will invest that trust into when it comes time to put our nose to the grindstone and do a work for God. Amen? Because we're the ones who have the Bible, the Word of God. We're not deceived by the devil.
Amen.
And the birth of the believer in God's Word right here, it's laid out plain and simple right there. It says, not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man. It is not our relatives. It is not our righteousness. It is not our religion that gets us to heaven. How's it finish up? What's John say right there in chapter, verse number 13? He says, but of God. I hope and I pray that you have that right in here tonight. I hope and I pray that that's the case in your life, that you understand that Crossroads Baptist Church cannot get you to heaven. That Pastor Mike, that he can't get you to heaven. That being baptized can't get you to heaven. That supporting missions can't get you to heaven. That knocking doors can't get you to heaven. And like I say, I'm not preaching to anybody personally in here. I'm just preaching what God's telling me to preach, and I'm telling you in here tonight. I don't ever want to take for granted that everybody I'm preaching to is saved. This is a real thing. This is a serious thing.
Amen.
And the devil laughs every time you walk outside of those doors unsaved. Amen. If you're in here tonight and you're saved, he's going to do everything he can to get you to doubt your salvation. It's important that you put on the whole armor of God, amen?
Amen.
That you take on that shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what the Bible says. It's important that you put on that shield of faith and that you keep on the whole armor of God so you can withstand those lies and those wicked thoughts and those evil temptations when they come. But if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, the devil's going to do everything within his power to get you to believe that you are. He said, no, you got to be saved. Your name's on the membership book. Now, you got to be saved. You prayed that prayer that one time. Hey, if you're in here and you're saved, you know it.
Amen.
And there's nothing I could do to talk you out of it. You know that God did the work in your heart, and the Holy Ghost of God bears witness in your heart of your salvation.
Amen.
If you're in here and you're truly saved. The birth of the believer tonight is a birth from God. Amen. Not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to ask in here tonight, before we dismiss, before we go into the business meeting, if there's anybody in here tonight who say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, pray for me. Don't worry about what the person next to you thinks. You say, what are these people I go to church with going to think of me if I raise my hand? Hey, they better be happy if you get saved. Amen?
Amen.
They get all judgmental and say, well, look at that. Shame on us. That's not how it ought to be, friend. If you're in here tonight and you need to get saved, why don't you just let go of your pride, let go of your fear. Slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. I won't call you by name. I won't even ask you to come up to the altar, anything of that nature. I'm just gonna pray for you. If you're in here and say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved, just slip up your hand. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we thank you so much that we don't have to try and earn our way to heaven, Lord, but God, that you've given us in your word the perfect plan of salvation, that you've given us your Son, and Lord, that you've given us the Bible and your scriptures to help us to know, to be sure that this thing, the second birth, the new birth, the birth of the believer, God, that it's something that comes totally and freely by your grace, God. Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. I pray that you continue to be with my friends, my church family, God, as we go our separate ways. And Lord, bless the business meeting after the service here tonight. And God, I pray that everything that's said and done here at this church and everything that continues here at this church might be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom and for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for the opportunities to preach today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord right there.